I brought my parents 100 miles from here. I brought, he didn't see me leave today, did he? My dad's got his driver's license. He just turned 16 last week. So he's here, and my mom. I want you to meet the man. The whole St. Clair and Scott clan is back there, I believe. Y'all stand up. Everybody, just stand up back there. It belongs to me. And now I want you to meet my mom and dad. Y'all stand up again. I want you to see who they are, okay? Why I am like I am, I guess, you know? Hey, listen, we want to talk to parents, about parents tonight, and we're going to talk to parents for a little while, and then we're going to switch it around, and we're going to talk to kids for a while, but, you know, it seems like every place we turn and everything that we do, and it seems like every place that I've turned this week, there have been problems with parents. It seems like parents are having problems with kids, and kids are having problems with parents. Boy, this is, it just seems like every time we have a chance to counsel with kids and with parents, that there are problems there. You know, and it seems like there's always conflict and always things are happening, and tension and so forth, you know. It's kind of like the dad and his son who were, man, they were battling back and forth. They were having an argument, A number one. They were really going after each other, left and right, pow, pow, pow. You know, they're a verbal prize fight is what they were having, you know. And they were really going after each other. And the thing got to the point where the son said to the father, and he says, I didn't ask to be born, you know. And his son said, his father said, well, if you had, the answer would have been no. And a lot of times that's kind of what our relationship is between our parents. And we begin to realize that in all the families, even within the church, there is conflict, there is tension. So many families are getting divorced. So many people are living together and are married, and yet there's still hatred and hostility and bitterness between people. People despising one another and hating one another. So many kids have come up to me and they said, man, my parents just don't understand me. I've been having a fight with my mom. My mom doesn't understand me. My dad won't ever listen to me. My parents won't ever listen to me. My kids won't ever listen to me when I tell them something to do. Boy, it seems like that happens all the time, right? A boy up in North Carolina was riding his motorcycle up a mountain road. He and his family were on vacation, and they'd taken off up into the mountains, and this boy had taken his motorcycle. He was taking off up the mountain road, you know, on his motorcycle. Vroom! And he was in a hurry to get home because he was late. He wanted to get there as quickly as he possibly could because he knew his parents were waiting supper on him. It was dark, and he knew he just needed to get there. His father up at the top of the hill in the cabin was very concerned about his son. He knew his son was late. He knew it was getting dark, and he knew that there could be something wrong with his son. So he came down the hill in his car. His son was coming up on the motorcycle. The father was coming down the hill in the car. And just about the time the father was rounding this curve in the car, the son was coming around the same curve on his motorcycle. And pop! Slam! They had a head-on collision. The son was killed instantly. And the father is slowly dying of the grief over his son's death. And he'll go to his grave with that grief in his heart. Two people, a father and a son, both trying to reach out to each other, both trying to be concerned about one another, both loving one another, trying to reach out, two people, and they come on a collision course that smacks them together and kills one and leaves the other one so psychologically crippled that he can't live his life. Is that the experience in your home? Is that what's happening to you in your house? Well, boy, if it is, there's some good news for you because of some things that you can do about it that can change that collision course, that can change that tragedy into something victorious and dynamic. Where does the problem seem to lie? Well, obviously the problem there is not with God, right? I mean, God has a plan for your life, and He'll work it out. And He has some principles that He's laid out for you to live your life by. And if you will follow those and do those, then things will begin to fall into place. So obviously the problem is in either or and but two places. Parents and or kids. Now let's look at it and see what we can find out. Let's take the whole thing in the context of the story of David and Absalom. Father and son. Two men in the Old Testament. Turn to 2 Samuel. Well, it's about a... If you want to turn over there, if you can, we're going to study about four chapters tonight. I'm going to read them all right now. No, I'm really not. I promise. But in the story of David and Absalom, over in the 12th chapter, 2 Samuel, beginning with the 9th verse, it says this. Why then have you despised the laws of God and done this horrible deed? Nathan, talking to David. For you have murdered Uriah and stolen his wife. Therefore murder shall be a constant threat in your family from this time on, because you have insulted me by taking Uriah's wife, and I vow that because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. That was God's message through Nathan to David. And why was he giving him that message? Well, number one, because David was not the kind of father that he should have been. And he started off not being the kind of father that he should have been when he was hanky-pankying around with Bathsheba, see? That was his first big mistake. And when he did that, God said that from then on out, his family would be murderers, and his family would be cursed, and his family would rebel against him all the days of his life. And you know what happened? That's exactly what happened to him. David wasn't exactly the kind of father he should have been. And we're going to take old David first, and we're going to look at him. And man, I want you parents to drink this in. Kids, relax. Just keep it cool. I'll get to you in a few minutes. You're last. You hang on. David was not the kind of father he should have been. And he started off being not the kind of father he should have been because there was hanky-panky going on. Outwardly, the problem was a sex sin. Outwardly, there were some things that were going on that shouldn't have been going on. And you know what I find? I find that parents today very often suspect their kids and mistrust their kids because of the things that they did when they were teenagers. Parents, does that make sense to you? If you were a sneaky little rat pig when you were a teenager, you think your son's a sneaky little rat pig. If you were involved in sexual promiscuity when you were a teenager, you think your kid is, whether he's a perfect kid or not. Probably he's not. But you think so. You think he's involved in some kind of deal because you were involved in that when you were a teenager. And somehow to me, that just doesn't seem quite fair. Does it to you? You know, there's a principle of leadership that I think is very significant. It's pretty simple. People will only follow you if you lead. Now, your kids aren't going to follow you, parents, unless you're leading. They're not going to be the kind of kids that you want to be unless you're the kind of parent that you want them to look at. They're not going to be the kind of outstanding example of Christian maturity and so forth unless you're an outstanding example of Christian maturity. And if they are, it's over your dead body instead of over your living body. They're going to follow your example, and you have a tremendous opportunity with them if you take advantage of the opportunity and lead them instead of following them. It seems to me that in our country today, everybody has gone youth crazy, man. They're crazy about young people. Moms dress like their kids. Dads dress like their kids, you know. They try to incorporate all the lifestyle of their kids and be like their kids and everything else. You know who's God in most homes? Kids. Isn't that right? Most of the homes you see. And usually the problem is a weakness on the part of the parents because they haven't been able to handle the sin in their own life. Outwardly, there was a sex sin in David's life. Inwardly, the problem was disobedience to God.
David fell to the temptation, but his problem was that he took his eyes off of God and he got him on Bathsheba. Yes. Disobedience to God. And you parents cannot possibly raise kids who are Christians to Christian maturity until you have your eyes on God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's not happening in your life, then somewhere along the line, God's going to hold you responsible and you're going to have to answer for that. Well, the first problem in David's life was, and not being the kind of father that he was supposed to be, was that he was hanky-panking around and not setting a very good example for his family that was supposed to follow. And then we come upon the second thing that he did wrong, the second mistake he made, and the second mistake is very simple. And it's a mistake that most fathers make in their relationship with their children. And that is that he didn't spend time with his son. Absalom, his son, went off and he killed his brother Amnon because his brother Amnon had raped his sister Tamar. And then, you know, there was already problems in the family, see? And so when Absalom killed his brother Amnon, what happened was that he was off in this city somewhere and David refused to see him. And even when he brought him back to Jerusalem where David was, David wouldn't see him for 2 solid years. Think of all the fantastic things that could have been done in the life of this guy, this teenage fellow, if his father had considered to spend some time with him when he should have. Dad, when was the last time that you took your boy or your gal out and spent some time with them doing what they wanted to do? When was the last time? Your kids don't need your money. There's more money floating around now. If you're dead broke, somebody in the church will give you money. They don't need your money. They don't need your job. They don't need your business. They need you. And without you, man, they don't have a chance of making it. They want you. And they need you. David's mistake was that he didn't spend any time with his son. And that's why his son was a young, rebellious, independent guy. And eventually got himself killed. Well, there's another mistake that David made. And his third mistake was simply this, that David didn't discipline his own son. But you know what he did? He got somebody else to do it. And boy, if that's not a picture of our society, I don't know what is. If that's not a picture of the way our homes operate, I don't know what is. I've been to these schools all week long, you know, and every time we go down there, somebody makes the comment, a teacher or somebody makes the comment, that these parents have sent their kids down here for us to raise. And even though they may spend 6 hours down there, it is not the school's responsibility to raise your children. It is not the church's responsibility to raise your children. It is not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility, or Bill's responsibility, or Conrad's responsibility. It is your responsibility to raise your own kids. And man, if you can't find time to do that, then you better make some time. Because you are responsible. And the same thing will happen to your kids if you turn them out for somebody else to raise. The same thing will happen to your kids that happened to David's kids. They'll end up being in all kinds of trouble and eventually get themselves killed. See, did you see what happened to, Absalom was it that David sent Joab out to discipline him, to bring him back after he tried to usurp the kingdom, see? He was going to overthrow David, and after they found out that wasn't going to work, David sent Joab out to capture him. And so instead of taking his own discipline and doing it like he should have done it, the problem that happened was
Joab went out to get him, and Absalom was riding down through the woods, you know, and all of a sudden his long, flowing, hippie hairdo got caught in the trees, you know, and he was pushed, his horse kept going, and there he was, man, just dangling in the trees by his hair. That's exactly what happened. And Joab came by and he stabbed him 3 times and killed him. David didn't want that. That wasn't the way he wanted to discipline his son. But it happened. And you know why it happened? Because he sent somebody else to do his work for him. And you know something? Young people love discipline today. I don't know whether you parents understand this or not. But kids will push you, and they will push you, and they will push you, and they will push you until they push you right out of the ballpark. And you know what they want to know? They want to know when you're going to stop and say that's enough. Man, if you don't have any rules to play by, if you don't have any rules to go by in the game, if you don't have any limitations, if you don't have any boundaries, there ain't no way, baby, that they can even get in the ball game. Down at Super Summer last summer, we played a game called Wells Fargo. Man, it's a dangerous game. You can get killed in that game. You know why you get killed? Because there ain't no rules. That's right. All you got is a bag of gold and some band-aids on people's heads. And you say, go get them, man. Get the gold and get the band-aids. Any way you can do it. Kill them, stomp them, crush them, beat them, anything you can do. You know what happens? Fantastic game. Girls crawl guys' eyes out, man. Right. Long finger there, boy. Go over their head and get their eyes and pull it out. Their hair pulling, scratching, kicking, beating. Boy, it's an unbelievable game. And it is dangerous. Because there aren't any rules. And kids need rules. They want rules. They don't want to live dangerously like that. They want your discipline. And when you discipline their lives and say no, you say stop, and that's it, and that's enough. That's what they want. And you know how they want it? They want you saying it in real love. They want you to do what the Bible says over Ephesians. They want you to speak the truth in love and man stand up behind it. When you do that, you're not going to have any trouble out of your kids. They're going to love you for all they're worth. Let me share an example with you. How this irresponsibility on the part of parents works out. There's a gal who lives here in Virginia. She's in the 10th grade this year. If I mention her name, you'd know her family. Last spring, I had the opportunity to lead her to Christ at a party. And man, she got so fired up about the Lord, she was so excited and really responded to Him and wanted to do what He wanted her to do. You know, she came down to Furman last summer, and we had a fantastic time. She was one of the most responsive girls we had. Well, she was just going great guns. So excited about being there, so excited about living for the Lord. And one day we went out to the park and we were ministering to some black people out there, sharing the Lord with them and just playing games with them, doing all kinds of things like this. And a lady who was drunk brought her little dirty, stinking baby over to the park and wanted somebody to keep it. Debbie was there and she kept the little baby. And her heart just went out to this little kid. And she wanted to do something for the baby. Well, she came back to the park that afternoon, and she was so fired up and she was so excited because she wanted to do something for this little baby. She came up to me, you know, big old smile, metal all over her mouth, you know, just metal everywhere. And she said, "Baby, baby, baby, you know, what can I do to help this little baby? I'm so excited, I want to do something." She went around to the counselors and some other people, some of the kids are who she was living with, and she said, "What can I do? What can I do?" And in all of her excitement, she made the mistake of calling her mother. And she called her mom up on the phone, and she was sharing all this excitement and what she could do for the little baby, you know? And she wanted her mom's advice, and her mom said, when she got through saying all that, she said, "Don't you ever touch that dirty little nigger baby again." And for about a week there, we had to pick up the pieces. And if it hadn't been for a good pastor and some good counselors, that girl would have fallen apart. All because of the irresponsibility of a mother who was so insensitive and so callous to speaking the truth in love and to disciplining her child that she didn't know the difference between Christianity and religion. Parents, if you're going to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then you better follow Him and live for Him and let Him live in you and not make the mistakes that David made. Your kids need discipline. They need you to spend time with them. And boy, they sure do need a good example from you. All right, now that's half of it. Now, kind of loosen things up here a little bit. Come down front here, and we're going to move right on. Y'all ready? Okay. Hot seat down there, man. I've got a button up here. If I push it, some of you guys are going to jump up, man. Okay, you ready now? You ready for this? I want you to catch it. Because from here on out, I'm speaking to you. Don't y'all go to sleep, but if you don't want to listen, that's all right. Okay? Might pick up some, though. You know, way to whip them or something like that. I don't know. There was another guy in the story. David wasn't the only person. Absalom was the other one. Absalom was his son. And Absalom was a young, rebellious, independent kid. Probably a lot like you all. But you know, his downfall was not because his father had done all those things, even though his father had been a crummy dad. Absalom could have made it if he had done the things that God laid out for kids to do. If he had done those things, things would have worked out. And yet he didn't. And he got himself killed. Now, what was the first thing he did? Well, the first thing he did was Absalom disobeyed his dad. He disobeyed what his father had told him to do. See, because what happened was, I told you about, you know, Amnon and the little deal they had with the sister there, you know? Remember me saying that a few minutes ago? Well, that made Absalom so furious that he wanted to kill his brother. Just like Esau wanted to kill Jacob. We talked about that last night, right? He had the same kind of hatred in his heart for his brother. And so what he did was he arranged a big party and he invited all of his brothers and he invited his dad. And his dad called down and said he couldn't come. Sent a telephone message down or something like that, see? Sent a message down and said he couldn't come. And so Absalom told his dad, he said, make sure that Amnon comes because he's going to be the guest of honor. And he got him down there and he got him drunk. That might be a key for some of you guys. He got him drunk and he had some guys kill him. Obviously, that wasn't what David wanted. Obviously, that wasn't being obedient to his father. Because his father loved his other son. Amnon had deceived his father, and he had disobeyed his father. And when we disobey, we're really in trouble. I was talking to a gal last summer, a girl named Katrina. Really, really a cute gal. And she had been living a Christian life for about 6 months, and she was all excited about that, you know? But she came to me with some problems about her parents, especially her dad. And she said, you know something? She says, I want to follow Christ, and I want to be a good Christian. My dad keeps me from being a good Christian because he doesn't want me to go to church, and he doesn't want me to do the things in the church, and he doesn't want me to associate with these kids from church, and he'd just as soon I drop out from church. And what do you think I told her? How many of you think I told her she ought to follow Christ instead of a banner dad? Raise your hand if you think that. Is that all that's going to vote for that side? Anybody else going to vote for that side? How many of you think I told her to vote to obey her dad instead of the Lord? How many of you really don't give a rip? Both of them in different aspect groups, huh? Y'all were afraid I was going to trick you, weren't you? You knew what I was going to do. That's right, so you didn't vote, chickens. Okay. Here's what I told her. I said, Katrina, I said, let's turn over here to Ephesians, and let's look at Ephesians 6. And y'all can do that if you want to. I said, let's look at Ephesians 6 and read the first 3 verses of that chapter. After we've hemmed and hauled around for about an hour, I said that. And here's what it says. It says, children, obey your parents, this is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of God's 10 commandments that ends with a promise. And this is the promise that if you honor your father and mother, yours will be a long life full of blessing. And man, she just could not buy that. She says, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to respect my dad. I don't want to do what my dad says. Finally, she came around to saying, she said, Barry, I don't care what the Bible says. All I want to do is follow Jesus. You know? You think about that a minute. You'll catch it. Maybe y'all had that problem too. See, but the Bible is very explicit in terms of what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to respect and obey and honor her father. Whether he was a Christian or whether he was not a Christian, whether he was a dead drunk, deadbeat, or whether he was just a fantastic man, God said, children, obey your parents. He didn't say, obey your Christian parents, obey your good parents, obey your parents once in a while, obey your parents when you want to. He said in the imperative mood, children, obey your parents. Now that's fairly plain, isn't it? It's hard to get around that, you know? You want to, but somehow you just can't quite get around. It's a little too wide, isn't it? And that's the command that he's given to us. That we're supposed to obey our parents and follow them and do what they say for us to do. And then when we do that, then somehow things begin to work out. And here's what happened. Katrina was fighting me up and down. Boy, she was giving it to me left and right. She did not want to do that. She left that day saying, man, I don't want to do that. And I said, you think and pray about it. You read that over a few times. The next day she came to me and we were talking. She told me her dad had had an accident. He'd fallen and hit his head and they weren't sure whether he was going to live or not. But all of a sudden, she began to love her dad. She began to respect her dad. She began to realize that she was supposed to obey her dad. Because she realized that she loved it a lot more than she thought she loved it. She cared about it. She really did. And it's amazing when it gets right down to the real nitty gritty, right down to a life and death matter, how important it is for you to obey your parents. That's the command that God's given to us. And let me ask you this question. Is disobedience destroying your family life? Is it destroying your relationship to your parents? Boy, it really could be, couldn't it? You might be a Christian, you might not be a Christian. But if you're not obeying your parents, then you're having some real problems in your home. And when you start obeying, some of those problems are going to begin to go away. And fantastic things are going to start happening in your home. Well, there's another thing that happened here in terms of Absalom and David and their relationship. Absalom made another mistake. His first mistake was that he didn't disobey his that he disobeyed his dad. And the second mistake that he made was that he took authority over his dad. Now that's a little different than disobeying. Because what he did was, he said, now listen, he says, I'm going to go out. He started going out here and meeting all these people in Israel and started, you know, praying up to them and getting them over on his side. And then he took some of the commanders in his dad's army and got them on his side. And then he began to get the soldiers on his side. And then he began to start a revolution. And he started out this revolution and he decided that what he was going to do, he was going to overthrow his dad's kingdom. He was just going to take the whole thing and chuck it over. He was going to make himself king and he was going to be the authority and his dad is going to be servant to him. As I mentioned a few moments ago, that happens in a lot of American homes today. And it's really tragic the way it happens. And according to the Bible, that's not the way it's supposed to happen. God has given us another way. And I think I can illustrate it most aptly like this. A jeweler comes into his jewelry store and he's got an uncut diamond there, a big rock. And he takes in one hand and then he takes in the other hand, takes in one hand a tool and then he takes in the other hand a tool and he begins to chisel on that rock, on that diamond. And he begins to cut it. He begins to get the angles right. And he begins to get the color right. And he doesn't make any flaws. And he makes it perfect. And he doesn't chip it off where it's not supposed to be chipped off. And when he gets through with that, he's got a beautiful diamond. It's very, very, very expensive. very, very, very valuable. Okay, look at it this way. God's up here, and he's the jeweler, we'll say. See? And here you've got two arms. And the left arm is dad, and the right arm is mom. See? And the left arm has a hammer in it, and the right arm has a chisel in it. And mom and dad chisel away at your life, and hammer away at your life, and discipline you, and put you under their authority, and they beat on you a little bit, you know? And you know what happens? According to God's plan for you, they cut you out to be God's individual and to be the person that God created you to be. They make you the kind of person that you're supposed to be when both of them are hammering, both of them are chiseling like they're supposed to. Whether they're Christians or whether they're not, God has a chain of command. God has a list of the way things are supposed to go. It starts out with God, and he's first. And then it starts out with father, and then it goes to mother, and then it goes to teenager. Exactly in that order. 1, 2, 3, 4. See? God's first. Your dad's got the hammer, your mom's got the chisel, and there you are. You're getting beat on all the time, right? But you know what they're doing? They're chipping away at you until they form you into the kind of person that can reflect the light of Jesus Christ better than anybody else with your type of personality and your makeup. Now some of you say, man, that is a bunch of garbage. I am not about to obey God first or my dad second or my mom third. I am my own boss. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to end up just like Absalom ended up. Hanging by your hip hair from a tree someplace with three daggers in you. You have a hard time buying that? God has a plan for your life. And his plan is revealed through your father and your mother. And he's building you into the kind of person that he wants you to be. And when you get out of your teenage years, and when you get out from under the dominion and the authority of your parents, then you will, if you do what your parents say, whether they're Christians or whether they're not, you'll be the kind of person that God has intended for you to be. Because they'll chip you out like the diamond to be what God wants you to be. And man, if you're a Christian, that's exciting, because that's what you want. You want to be what God wants you to be. And if you're from the home and you don't have any parents, then you've got house parents. And their authority is over you, and you belong to them, and you need to obey them. As much as you think that's a bunch of garbage, that's true. And that's what God wants you to do, and if you do it, then you'll become the kind of person that God really wants you to be. Now, when you do this and your parents are trying to teach you something, what should your attitude be? Well, through the whole thing, you can really develop a mature attitude. It can become a fantastic experience for you. If you'll really let it be, if you'll let, like Conrad says, if you'll let a problem become an opportunity. And what will happen is that if you'll obey them, if you'll just do it, and then if you'll just enjoy doing it, and then if you'll find ways to do it better, then man, some fantastic things can begin to happen as you develop a mature attitude toward life, toward your family, toward your friends, and toward God. And God will begin to build you and make you into what he wants you to be. God's not so concerned with your circumstances. He's not so concerned with the problems you have. You know what he's concerned with? He's concerned with the way that you respond to those problems. Now let's face it. If I had you raise your hand, every single one of you would raise your hand and say, man, I've got problems, right? I've got problems with my parents. Most of you would raise your hand on that particular issue alone. And yet God's not concerned so much with the problem. He's concerned with the way you're going to respond to it. And the way he has given you to respond to it is he has said, children, obey your parents. And that's clear. And some of you really need to start doing that. And then the third thing happened. Absalom insulted his father, and he provoked his father, and he attacked his father, and it killed him. We've already recounted that, where he just went out, you know, he went out and he got the army together, and he decided what he was going to do was attack his father, and then he attacked him, and what happened was Joab went out and he killed him, and he was hanging by his hair. And if that's not the most accurate picture of the American home I've ever seen, I don't know what is. Kids attacking their parents. Kids insulting their parents. Boy, it happens every place. It happens in the church. It happens out of the church. It happens right here in the families that are the most loyal to this church. Let's face it and be honest, right? An accurate picture of the American family. One out of every two divorced. The 50% that aren't divorced, half of them living in hatred and bitterness, wishing they could get out, wishing they could do something else, wishing they could get rid of their partner. Kids living in living hell because of the way their parents are acting. Kids disobeying their parents. Kids insulting their parents. Kids rebelling against their parents. Kids telling their parents where to go and where to hop off. Well, that's a bad mistake. And you know something? The Roman Empire crumbled for the same reason that we're talking about right here. And you know what? We're a lot further along in terms of our crumbling than they were when they were destroyed. Because when the American home breaks up, when the Christian home breaks up, when your home breaks up, you know what happens? It's like a bunch of termites that get in under your house. And they begin to gnaw, crunch, go, you know? And they begin to eat away at all the timber. And millions of them get under there. And they begin to eat and bite and chew. And what happens is that eventually, even though you may not even know it, you walk in the house one day, and it's tumbled down on top of you. And that's exactly what's happening to our home situation here in America today, and even within the church. God's calling you to obedience. He is calling parents to obey God. And let's face it, some of you really aren't doing that. And He's calling kids to Christ. And He's calling kids to obey their parents. And the beauty of it is, when we do those things, when we do what He asks us to do, then somehow our life begins to work out and we begin to become a mature, healthy, whole type of person. God wants you, young people, to be obedient to your parents. My dad, Jim, well, we have a fantastic relationship together. I told you about the story when I disobeyed when I came with a bicycle and everything, you know. I did that again later when I was in college, you know. What happened was I was coming home from college and it started snowing, and it snowed about a foot of snow in an hour. And so what I decided to do is I called Dad and I asked him what I should do, and he said, "Don't come." And so what did I do? I came anyway. You know, a little thick. So I started out the road, you know, and I got up the road. I realized I wasn't going to make it. Got my chains. I put my chains on my little red Valiant, you know, and but that was the one with, you know, with the wind out, I put a snow, you know, it was coming on in and everything. And so I was going up the road, and all of a sudden something happened to one of the chains, and then something happened to the other chain, and they broke. And boy, it was going clinkety, 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 you know, and I was going up the road, it was going pum, 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 you know, I could already make it up the road. And when the chains broke, I found out that they not only broke, but they weren't working, you know? And I started sliding all over the road two times before I even got up one hill. I'd slid around and around and over through a ditch, and I had to get somebody to help me get my car to start out again. Around and around and around into the ditch. And finally, man, I just said, you know, I got to call Dad. I knew I made a mistake. But I knew I was too far to back down now. So I called him, and he said, "Come on in," you know? And I drove off home, up through the mountains. Finally, about 2 o'clock, I arrived in Princeton, you know, and he was waiting up for me. And he was waiting for me to get there. You know, in our house, you have to understand the situation of our house. Our house is up way up on top of the hill where you can see down over into the streets. And to come up to our house, you have to come up a steep grade. It's just about like that. And so Dad was looking out the window for me, and he could see, because there were no other cars on the road. He saw my car coming up the road. And he was watching me. He watched me come all the way around to the side road. And then when my car went out of sight, he went out, and he started down the hill. Well, I didn't know he was doing that. And so I went out. I was out there in the car, you know, and I was coming up Ingleside Road, and I came up that hill, you know, and I knew it was going to be tough to make it up. So I started out down at the bottom of Ingleside Road, and I just started really gunning it up the road, you know, as fast as I could get it. And I started up there, and you come up, and then you have to make a sharp turn, just like that, to go up the hill. And I started out, and I came around there, and I went, up the hill as fast as I could go, and I got up about 50 yards, and all of a sudden, ride straight back down the hill, you know. So I backed all the way down, started up again, you know, ride straight back down. I tried one more time, up the hill. I was beginning to see that there weren't no way, you know, I wasn't going to make it. And just about that time, I saw some headlights coming down the hill. And my dad was coming down there to pick me up. Because he had a better vehicle than I did, he could make it, and he cared about me. He came out at 2 o'clock in the night and got me, his disobedient son, and took me up the hill. You know, that's what God's love is. Man, you've been disobedient. You know that. You've been bad. You haven't done the things you should have done. You haven't obeyed your parents. They love you anyway. And parents, man, you know you haven't done the right things towards your kids all the time. You know you've made some terrible boo-boos. But you know something? Every one of them I've talked to this week says they love you anyway. And the most fantastic thing of all is the fact that in all of our mistakes and all of our boo-boos and all of our mess-ups, God loves us all anyway. Parents and kids. And the only way we're ever going to resolve this whole situation, the only way we're ever going to work it out, is for us to obey our parents. And there's no possible way in your strength that you can obey your parents, or there's no possible way that you as a parent can be the kind of parent you're supposed to be until you obey Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that the key to the whole thing is obedience. Because he said, the ones who obey me, those are my disciples. And he wants you to obey him. And the first step in obeying him is to get your relationship with him straightened out. To come to him, to give your life to him, to open your life up to him. As many as received him, he said, to them he gave the right to become what? To become the children of God. And we become a part of God's family. And we have the chance to obey him and to love him and for him to love us. If we open our life up to him, if we believe in him. And then a lot of you have strayed away, and you haven't done what you should have as a parent, as a kid. And God wants you to come back and make that right. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that tonight during the invitation. And we're going to stand and sing the invitation right now, Bill. And you know what the invitation is. Most of you have been here night after night. And we want you to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. And come, and you parents, boy, this is your night. And you know that there are a lot of things that you need to come and make right with your kids and to make right with God beforehand, to bow before him. And if some of you want to come as a family, your kids are down, and you want to come and get your parents, or kids, you want to go get your parents, man, that's fantastic. And you bring them down here and you come. Okay? The invitation is for you to receive Jesus Christ and to get some things straightened out in your family relationships that you know need to be straightened out.